بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوفوا بعهد الله إذا عاهدتم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, any person who entrusts us with any of his possession, his belonging, and he regards us to be trustworthy, amanatdar, then we have to protect and preserve the trust that he has entrusted us with. Simple example, a person is going for Hajj Umrah and he leaves some money behind, or his car, and he tells you to keep this as an amanat. When he comes back, then you will give it back to him, and you are prepared to do so. In fact, he regards you to be trustworthy. So that is a great honor in its own, that the man regards me to be an honest person, a trustworthy person. So therefore, it is imperative that I should look after that position of the person. So generally, when we talk about entrusting some person with something, our mind goes to, of course, to material things, some possession of ours, some monies that we have, or some appliance, or whatever it may be, and we say, keep it for safekeeping, when I come back, then I will take it back from you. But also, in part of this is when we confide in a person, and we tell him a secret. We tell him something that should be kept in secrecy. So that also is part of this trust that you and I have to take care of. But it often happens that when it comes to secrets, we divulge these secrets very easily, whereas the person confided in us, he told us something which was an amana. It was supposed to be kept as a secret, but we went and we made that widespread. This is incorrect. This tantamounts a person becoming a kha'in, one who has breached the trust, one who is disloyal, one who is not trustworthy. A person respected us, confided in us, and he expected us to keep it as a secret. And therefore, scholars have written that inna umana al asrar aqallu wujudan min umana al amwal. That when it comes to secrets, the word for secret in Arabic is sirrun, the plural of which is asrar. Those who are safekeeping secrets are very less found in this world than those who can safeguard and protect wealth of a person. And then he mentioned, ulama say, فَحِفْذُ الْأَمْوَالِ أَيْسَرْ مِنْ حِفْذِ الْأَسْرَارِ. Perhaps to look after somebody's wealth and possession is easier than keeping the secret in our heart. We find among the scholars and the Salafis Salihin, there are so many examples. In fact, in the hadith of Rasulullah, it is mentioned, if somebody comes and tells you something, and obviously you can understand that this is something private and he's telling you something. So, إِذَا حَدَّثَ الرَّجُلُ بِالْحَدِيثِ, when he person says something to another person, the moment فَالْتَفَتَّ, the moment he turns around, then this speech or whatever he confided regarding with, whatever he told the person, this becomes an amana. This becomes a trust that he has entrusted the person to keep. You see, we have hearts, and this is where the secrets are stored. And then we have the lips. The lips are actually the locks. But then we have keys, and the key is the tongue. So we don't keep this secret. We open the lips and we open the tongue. And what do? We get some type of assurance from the person who we are itching to say, to pass on the secret to. So if a person gave me a secret, now I'm going to tell the next person. So I take an oath from him then. I say, take qasam in Allah. You're not going to tell anybody, yeah? I need to tell you something. Then we say, okay, leave it up. That person says, no, you started telling me, so tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody. And then we divulge the secret. And he does the same to the next person. And to the third and fourth and fifth person. What we have done, we have spread, we have made viral things that were supposed to be contained. It was a secret. It was something that was a private matter. And he did not want others to know about it. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had wives. And of course, we have to understand that each of his wife was most beloved to him. They were co-wives, meaning that they were all married to Rasulullah at the same time, and they loved him sallallahu alaihi wasallam dearly, and they could not even envisage a life without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And each one wanted to get his full love. Each one wanted to get his full love. Imagine having a husband as that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day it happens that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the house of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that particular day he spent a bit extra time with her. And so the other wives became a bit envious. So some of them made a plan. And they said, okay, when Rasulullah comes now, then I will say, I'm getting the smell of maghafir from your mouth, which is some type of gum, so that he would not spend time with that other wife as much as he spent, because they knew he partook of some meal there, and now he is coming. So the wife did that, and she said, I can get the smell of maghafir. He said, no, but I do not have any gum. I only took some honey. Then perhaps that honey got mixed with some maghafir, and that is why perhaps you are getting the smell. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a pledge that from today I will not eat any more honey. And there was no need for him to take that pledge. He did it to make these wives of his happy. But at the same time, he told them, or this particular wife, that listen, don't tell the other wife, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, anything. Keep it as a secret. I don't want her to feel bad. He was rahmatul alameen. He made sure that every person's heart was kept sound and not want to break any person's heart, especially his wife's. But so happened that this wife tells the next wife, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First Allah ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu. Why have you took it upon yourself to make something haram when Allah has made it halal for you? تَبْدَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ. You are seeking the pleasure of your wife, so they say you are making honey haram upon yourself. This is one tafsir. And then Rasulullah tells this wife, and she said, that who told you? فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Allah informed me. So Rasulullah was disappointed initially as a human being, but still he forgave them. He did not take it to heart. But the point here is, see, a secret, if it was kept as a secret, then so many other things would not have taken place. Now we see the consequence of that. In fact, some Mufassirin have mentioned at that time Rasulullah even contemplated divorcing that wife, but he did not do so. So it is extremely important. Ulama say, Sirruka asiruk. Your secret that somebody gave you, he confided in you, he told you keep it as a secret, this is your captive. This is something that you have in within your control now. But the moment you divulge it, the consequence of that is that you will become the captive of that secret now. In other words, now people will come to know, that person will feel offended. He'll no longer regard you as trustworthy. I thought you were honest, but now I know that I can never trust you. Ayatul munafiqi thalathun. Idha haddatha kadhaba. Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa. Wa idha atumina khana. Rasulullah said that the signs of a hypocrite are three, in one rewired four. Idha haddatha kadhaba. When he speaks lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa. When he promises, he breaks the promise. Wa idha atumina khana. when he's entrusted with anything, and we said material possessions and also secrets, then he is disloyal, he breaches the trust. He goes and divulges it to others. How common today, how common. Because of the cell phone that we have, the social media. How often something is supposed to be a secret, and we make that widespread and viral, not realizing how much of nuksan we have done, how many marriages have broken because of this, that the secret was divulged, how many partnerships broke in businesses, how many other problems took place in the society, all because we could not keep a secret. Yes, if the person tells us something, al-majalisu bil-amana in the hadith of Rasulullah, any gathering that we of course understand which is private, then it is amana. In other words, it should not be mentioned to anybody else outside that gathering. The people should just keep it within themselves. Except if in that gathering the plan was to loot somebody, to plunder, or to harm some person, to kill somebody, or to injure a person, like, or cause a person, or do something like rape. So the person is going to rape some person, or the plan was to plunder the wealth of some person, to cause him some harm, to kill some person. And then you don't keep the secret. Then that is now becomes your duty to pass it on so that person can protect himself or herself. Otherwise, there are things in this world that pertains to a person, and he is telling you in secrecy, confiding in you. Perhaps he asked you a mashwara and see what advice he can get from you. But you went and told it to your wife, to your children, to your neighbors, to your friends, and there's so many people now become affected. Again, the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to explain, you know, ulama have mentioned babu hifzi sir. In the books of hadith, the whole chapter is the chapter on preserving secrets, keeping secrets, not passing it on to others. You see, as I said, in our society, what makes a person divulge a secret? He cannot keep it within himself. We don't have control of our zuban anymore. Anything and everything must go viral. And worse is that we want to be the first person to give that news. The breaking news must be done by me. I must inform everybody. I must send it out forward. I must be the first person to send it forward. How often we found a news circulated, and not even 5 seconds later, sorry, it was fake news. Fake news. So many people already received that news. Just by the press of one button, million people got that news. How many people are going to get the news now that it was just fake? Let us become more mature in our understanding, in our conduct, in our lives. We do not know how we are behaving and what harm we are causing society and people around us. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala has a daughter, Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, marriageable age. He is seeking a suitable spouse for her. And it's natural, any father, and this should be so, that he should find the best husband for his daughter. So he meets Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And we all know the modesty of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, the caliber of the Sahabi, his piety, his taqwa, etc. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala proposes his daughter to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. He offers his daughter to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. I've got a daughter. If you wish to marry her, let me know. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala says, I will just ponder. And after a few days, he meets Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala again. He says, currently I'm not interested in getting married, so I'm not going to accept this proposal. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was disappointed. He wanted a son-in-law like Uthman radiallahu ta'ala to be the husband of his daughter Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala. Nonetheless, he then happens to meet Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. We mentioned the other day the virtues and the blessings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala then offers Hafsa to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala gives no answer. There's no response from him. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala says, I was more angry and with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu than I was with Usman radiallahu anhu. Okay, Usman, at least he responded. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said anything. Not a few days had gone past after that, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam proposes for Hafsa radiallahu anha. And immediately Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu gets his daughter Hafsa married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She becomes the mother of the believers, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he meets Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu again, and says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Umar, I'm sure you became upset with me, but I knew it was a secret between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and myself that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was contemplating marrying your daughter, and therefore I did not give you any jawab. So he kept the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How often a person is going to propose before he can even propose, and people already come to know. Sometimes the person only proposes, jawab has not been given. We make our own assumptions and we say so and so is getting married to so and so, and it happens that the girl is not happy and she refuses the proposal. How much of harm we are causing to people? We don't realize. Just want to be hasty and give first, break the news. We can't keep secrets. You know, Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu, great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, living in Madinah Munawwara, he has some relatives in Makkah Mukarrama, but they were not from the Quraysh. And there is an incident now where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to come into Makkah Mukarrama with the sahaba, and they're going to attack. So Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu was a genuine sahabi. He's got iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he sent a small note with an elderly woman who happened to come there, and now she's going back to Makkah, in which he divulges the secret plan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to some of his family members. And the reason for this was, he felt that other people, who other sahaba who may have got from family in Makkah, they've got family, so those families will protect them. But his family who is living in Makkah, they're not from the Quraysh. If the Muslims attack them, where will they run to? Who will give them refuge? So this was his purpose, to save them from the attack of the Muslims. But this was khiyanat. He was being disloyal in this aspect, that he should have asked Rasulullah ﷺ first what to do. He wrote this note. Rasulullah ﷺ is informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And immediately he sends Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu anhu, 3-4 sahaba go, and he tells them that at Rawdatu Khaq, there is a certain place, and you see an elderly woman mounted on her camel, she's got a note, and you must bring this letter. When they go, she refuses, she says, I've got nothing. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu threatens her. And listen, if you do not remove and give us this note that you have, because he had yaqeen in the words of Rasulullah, then we would be forced to strip you and find this note. So immediately she jumps off, and then she has this into her plait, into her waist, and she gives it. And in there was from Hatib bin Abi Balta to his family, informing them of the secret plan of Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately summons Hatib bin Abi Balta radiallahu ta'ala. In their presence was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Sam asked Hatib, what did you do? Why did you do so? And he explains that, Ya Rasulullah, I did not do this turning as a renegade or becoming a murtad. I did this just to save some family members of mine, because they did not belong from the Quraysh, and I was afraid what's going to happen to them. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was about to draw his sword. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, da'ni adrib unuqa hadha munafiq. I'm ready to strike his head off. Nabi says, no, Umar. Hatib is speaking the truth. He's speaking the truth. And he's a Badri sahabi. He participated in the battle of Badr. And those sahaba who participated in the battle of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at them, and Allah forgave their sins. So again, an error he made. And if that letter reached those people, then what could have been his consequence? Allah saved him. Again, the importance of not just divulging a secret. You know, something even small. But if it is a secret, it remains as a secret. Once Rasulullah sent Anas radiallahu anhu, Anas was his khadim. Very, very close to Rasulullah, made his khidmat for 10 years. Rasulullah was fond of Anas radiallahu anhu. Sends him off on an errand one day. And because of that errand, he returned home a bit later than normal. So immediately his mother, the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu, Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, asked, Anas, what happened today? Ma habasak? What delayed you? He says, I went on an errand, a haja, a need to fulfill of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sent me for some work. So innocently she asked, ma hajatu? What work was it? He says, ma, it is a secret between me and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I cannot divulge it to you. So she says, and then she also re-emphasized that, and she advised him that do not divulge this secret to any person. Anas radiallahu anhu had a student by the name of Thabit rahmatullahi alayh, and he was very close to his ustad. That a very Thabit was a very good student of Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas radiallahu anhu, when he narrates this narration, he tells Thabit, if I had to tell any person, I would have told you, but it is the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now look at this, how important then it is to preserve the secrets, no matter how small it may be, no matter how big it may be. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with his wives, and amongst the ladies who were there besides his wife, the other lady who was sitting there was his beloved daughter Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So these women folk of the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with him, and suddenly he calls Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he whispers something into her ear, and she begins to cry. Then again he calls her, and then he tells her something again, he whispers. In other words, he tells her a secret in her ear, and then she smiles. She's happy. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha is very intrigued, curious. She gets a chance. She asks Fatima, what did Rasul tell you? She says, I'm sorry, it is a secret between my father and myself. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha waited. After Rasul left this world, she went back to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Fatima, I have got some type of right over you. I was the wife or one of the wives of your father, so I am like your mother. Of course, Sayyidina Aisha was not the mother of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Fatima's mother was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, who passed away long before that. She says, okay, now I can tell you. He says, what happened? My father whispered to me in my ears that every Ramadan, Rasulullah SAW and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would make door of the Quran once. This year Rasulullah SAW and Jibreel made Quran door twice. And he says, I do not feel except that my time, my lifespan is coming to an end, and soon I will leave this world. They had a very close relationship, father and daughter. Extremely close. Such that after any journey, Rasulullah would come first, he would go to the masjid, and then after that he would come to the house of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. And she would stand up for her father, he would kiss his daughter on her forehead, she would make him sit next to her on the chair, on the right or the left. And he would do the same, and she would go visit him. That he would kiss her, and then he make her sit either on his right or on his left. So she said that I cried. But then he tells Rasulullah told me after that Fatima, aren't you happy? Would it not please you that Allah will make you the leader of the woman in Jannah? And that made me smile, that made me happy. That was the secret between us. So yes, now it was permissible for her to divulge the secret, not in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise Rasul would have told the wives himself. Very, very common. Wallah forbid, Allah save us. Sometimes a person gets married, and after his first night, after her first night, when they meet their friends or family members, now there are some people very inquisitive, and they begin to ask them questions about how did it go last night, Tell me what happened, what he did, what she did. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشَرِّ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The worst, worst, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشَرِّ النَّاسِ, from the worst of people in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, is that man who was intimate with his wife, she was intimate with him, and in the morning, ثُمَّ يَنْشُرُ سِرَّهَا, he goes and he divulges his bedroom stories. He goes and divulges the secret, the intimacy he had with his wife. It is of absolute no business of any other person. But he is such a fool, he goes and tells others how his wife performs in the room. In the eyes of Allah, this is regarded as the worst of person. And if she does it, she is the worst of person. This is a private matter, it is a secret. So even us, when we are giving somebody a secret to keep, be careful who you're telling your, who you're confiding in. لا تعطي سرك لمن وثقت به. Do not divulge, do not give any person any secret except that person you have full trust in. And somebody says so nicely, when it comes to spending, being generous, generosity, and you're spending in good causes, you must be a very generous person. When it comes to wealth, you must be a generous person. In good causes of deen, you must give freely and happily. But you must be a bakhil, you must be a miser when it comes to passing out secrets. You have to be very, very careful. There are so many other ahadith that come to mind, and incidents in time of Salaf Salihin, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, we saw how they kept secrets, and this brings khair in the society. By divulging his secret, there was no need whatsoever. We're only causing harm to other people, especially in proposal matters, etc., or business matters. Allah Ta'ala provide, Allah give us hidayat, Allah give us the tawfiq of making amal on the ayats of the Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes, but we have to be cautious. We have to be careful. See, wherever we are faced with any situation, think first. What will be the consequence of this? Find out before we do anything. Then we will be saved from so many evils. Allah grant us tawfiq to make amal wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.